Morning, Chris Hull, Wake Forest Baptist Health Infectious Diseases. March is almost over. One more week, and then we have Easter. All of the trees are blooming. It really is feeling like spring here in North Carolina. So our case counts across the country, we're starting to move into that kind of realm like we were maybe a year or so ago, where it seems like there's some hot spots developing. While most of the country is relatively stable on cases per 100,000, North Texas, parts of Michigan, central Minnesota, moving into South Dakota, particularly New Jersey, suburban New York, very much South Florida, Miami, are spots where their cases are increasing, some of them as much as 30% in the last week or two. Maryland is starting to see some increases as well. There was the governor and is worried that it may be tied to their limiting of restrictions on businesses, restaurants, gyms, and such that they did roughly 2 weeks ago. So that we'll have to wait and see how that turns out for them. And we'll talk more about that in a minute as it relates to North Carolina. So here in North Carolina, our cases per 100,000 new cases is been pretty stable over the last week. Hasn't gone down much, hasn't gone up much, kind of a plateau. Our hospitalizations are down under 1,000 now, COVID hospitalizations. In prevalence per day in North Carolina, which is good, and getting a lot of help from vaccines on that. And our deaths are still declining in North Carolina, which is also very welcome. So Forsyth County, we're at 12 per 100,000. This time last week, we were at 12 per 100,000. So it's pretty stable here as well. I think, though, that we're going to start seeing our cases go up some in both the state and also in our area here. And it will be for several reasons. One is that, as most people know, we're relaxing here in North Carolina our restrictions, particularly in those areas where infections are at higher risk. So our restaurants now are up to 75% capacity, bars to 50%, and the bars will be open longer now. 11 o'clock alcohol sales the curfew for that has been lifted. So these are areas where people get together indoors and in oftentimes smaller places. And we know from case control studies that the risk of getting coronavirus in such a setting, at least in a restaurant, is about 2 to 3 times higher than in a retail establishment. And then in bars, it's going to be even higher than that, particularly bars that aren't following through with their capacity limits. And that group of people who tend to go to those areas are people who largely haven't been vaccinated yet. Either their priority group hasn't come up yet because they're young and healthy, or they're not interested in getting the vaccine. And so that group of people is going to be a group of people that are going to be driving, I think, an increase in cases. Will this be like it was in January? No. I think it'll be more of a small wave, whatever you want to call an increase in cases, compared to like what we saw in midsummer of last year. We're also having more people traveling right now as schools go on spring break. And it's not necessarily everyone going down to Miami Beach to party. It's but people having family get-togethers and visiting friends and taking a week off. And when you do so, you spend more time eating out, and you'll spend more time bubble fusing with family and friends. So Now, if you've been vaccinated, the risks are lower from doing so, but if you're unvaccinated, the risk hasn't changed since over the last year or so. Now, our mass gathering limits have also increased in North Carolina, 50 indoors and 100 outdoors. So 100 outdoors, you gotta have a really big barbecue in your backyard with 100 people. But what this puts us into the realm of, I think, people thinking about having weddings and outdoor weddings and inviting larger numbers of people. And if you're thinking about having a large outdoor gathering, with that number of people, there'll be unvaccinated people in that venue, I'm sure. So you'll want to be wearing masks and spreading out and thinking about how you serve food and how the eating is done, because when you eat, you take your mask off and infection risk goes up. So still be mindful, even though we're having larger groups of people together, be mindful of COVID safety. And the recommendations haven't changed. Masks and social distancing and hand hygiene and avoiding as many bubble fusions, particularly in an unvaccinated, unmasked way. So there's a little bit discussion going on involving schools here in North Carolina, including our Winston-Salem, Forsyth County schools meeting tonight to take a look at middle and high schools and changing cohorts, trying to get kids back in school more in person. And in order to do so, they'll be looking at bringing the separation distance from 6 feet down to 3 feet, roughly, or for you metric people, down to 1 meter, and that I think is okay in the classroom settings. In the studies now, we've got 5 out that show that 3 feet and 6 feet are really no different, as long as people are wearing masks and adhering to that within the school. If you bring down the cohorts, it does raise the risk, though, that if there is a case in school, that you might have to quarantine a larger group of people. So that'll have to be kept in mind, that the quarantine numbers might go up. The other things that we have to do in schools in order to stay safe need to still be followed, particularly the masking, and then also looking at things like chorus and how lunch is done when people are unmasked and eating, and small clubs and groups that might meet in unsupervised ways that surround school, and still with athletics. So anyway, you'll have to keep that in mind as we open our schools back up, which, as everyone knows, I'm all for getting as many people in person in school as possible, but it's still, we need to do it carefully. A few things to talk about with vaccines. So here in North Carolina, roughly somewhere, just we're getting close to 30% now of North Carolina. We're not quite there yet, but getting close. 30% of North Carolina have gotten their first dose of vaccine. Roughly about half of that are fully vaccinated. So the vaccine supply is not quite opening up as fast as I thought it was going to. One of the big reasons is Johnson & Johnson's kind of missing their mark on how many they were going to have out by the end of March. And so production isn't quite as high with that vaccine as we thought. So we'll have to be a little bit patient yet. I know appointments are still hard to get across North Carolina. People are getting pretty sophisticated at finding one, though, including looking in other counties and trying to get in on the end of the day when there may be extra doses available and such. So stay patient, keep working on it. Forsyth County now, with the county, we're doing fairly well at the fairgrounds and getting over 1,000 people per day vaccinated. As long as we have supply, we can get the vaccine into people's arms. It looks like we might be planning another mass event in the area here in the next month, depending on supply with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So keep your eyes peeled open for that. In Forsyth County, we're actually doing a little better than other places in the state, is getting percent ways of getting people vaccinated in our county, and we're also knocking on the door of 30% here too. So just plugging away and keeping at it. I still think that by the time we get to June, pretty much everyone who's going to wants to have a vaccine will be able to get it. And then the hard part comes in, and that is talking to people who haven't quite made a decision yet or are hesitant to get a vaccine. Answering questions, make sure they know about the safety and efficacy data from the vaccines, and answering their questions that might have to do with a lot of myths that are out there about vaccines, and then also keeping up increasing access so that people have a chance to get it, even if they don't have transportation or maybe older and can't get out of the house so well. Our priority groups will be extended again on the 7th of April to include congregate settings, such as people living in dormitories or living together in group situations. And then pretty much anyone who has a job of any kind would be eligible for the vaccine. So we're getting close to having it open for everybody and anybody. I suspect by the end of April, that's where we'll be. And so that's what's going on with that. If you're following the trials and tribulations of AstraZeneca's vaccine, which is a adenovirus vectored vaccine, not much unlike Johnson & Johnson's vaccine. So you probably saw there may be some concerns with blood clots that are associated with that vaccine. In Europe, very rare and very small numbers of people who develop blood clots within a week or two of getting vaccinated. And actually, if you do the numbers and you look at these are such rare events that we can't tell for sure whether the blood clots are actually associated with the vaccine or not, because there's always a small number of people who get blood clots anyway. And so they're doing epidemiologic data, statistical data, and trying to see if this bears out. The head pharmaceutical regulatory groups for the European Union, which is like our FDA, has come on the decision that the vaccine is safe and that they don't think the blood clots are associated. And a lot of the countries that had suspended use of it are now continuing to vaccinate with AstraZeneca's vaccine. So that vaccine's not yet FDA approved here in the United States. I think that in April, the FDA may be looking at it. I'm not being critical, but AstraZeneca's had some hiccups and a few stumbles in how they've presented data and analyzed data from their trials and the submissions to the government with these. And I can tell you the FDA doesn't like that. And they'd like things to be all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted, everything in line and perfect. And that's the way we want the FDA to be as citizens. So we'll have to see how that goes. It may be a little rocky for AstraZeneca for their FDA approval here in the U.S. We'll have to see. Personally, I think the vaccine's effective. Personally, I think it's safe, but you have to you have to have your data all line up and be accurate. And we'll have to see what the FDA thinks about how AstraZeneca presents it. A little bit of an update on clinical trials for children. So Moderna has now started enrolling children under the age of 12. And so that is going to take some time for those clinical trials. I get asked a lot, are there any clinical trials for children in our area here? And at the moment, no, there are not. But there is an effort to potentially have some clinical trials opened up with the Atrium Enterprise down in the Charlotte area in April. And they're not open yet, and they're still working on it, but we'll have to see how that goes. And there, we may have some opportunities for our kids here to get enrolled in those trials. I'll keep you posted on that, and we'll see how that goes. Some questions have always come up about why is it that you can get a vaccine down to age 16 with Pfizer's vaccine, messenger RNA vaccine, but not Moderna's, it's 18. And it all because it all comes down to how those two companies did their clinical trials. Moderna didn't enroll anyone less than 18, Pfizer did down to 16. And so when the FDA gave their approval, they had data for people between 16 and 18 for Pfizer, but not for Moderna. And so that's why it creates some confusion a little bit at vaccine sites. If you don't know for sure what vaccine they're offering and you've signed your 17-year-old up with asthma, then it's a little bit disconcerting to find out it's the other vaccine and the 17-year-old can't get it. So if you're looking at a 16 to 18-year-old person, call ahead and find out which vaccine they're using to the site you're going to, so that you know whether or not they'll be able to get it under the FDA approval. I think, yesterday we had an exciting announcement about Wake Forest's School of Medicine opening up a regional campus in Charlotte. So now we will have two campuses for one medical school at Wake Forest School of Medicine. And this is really exciting for us, and I can speak personally from us in the infectious diseases world, because it's always we're always into having research and education and teaching and scholarly activity, and that increases the bandwidth for being able to help take care of our citizens in the state. So if you have two campuses, you can do it better than with one. We are not moving the campus here in Winston-Salem to Charlotte. We stay here, and we have a regional campus in Charlotte. This will open up opportunities for us in the Charlotte area for research, including for clinical trials. And a great example of that are COVID vaccine trials, which here we've had COVID vaccine trials up here in Winston, still ongoing, mostly with Moderna's vaccine. And then also we'll have opportunities to do vaccine trials with the same group of clinical trials people looking over it down in the Charlotte area too. So it opens up opportunities for our citizens in both cities. And I really think that's really exciting. Plus, we can train twice as many med students that way. And that's real exciting for people who want to be doctors or nurses and PAs and nurse practitioners. So some pretty exciting news from that angle. So I think with that, is there any questions from the media or the group here this morning?
Are we expecting an increase of COVID cases here as well, as since it's been increasing across the country? I know you kind of touched base on that early, but Just kind of reiterate that point.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think we will see an increase in cases here in the Triad and in North Carolina. But, you know, we're more relaxed. There's more opportunities for people to be out and about, including in areas that are a little bit higher risk for getting infected, restaurants, gyms, bars, things like that. And I think people are relaxing a little bit, getting together with friends and neighbors in their own homes and neighborhoods. And so I think we will have an increase in cases. So I'm thinking that we'll have a wave here in April. And I don't see it like it was in January. Maybe kind of like what we saw in the middle of last summer. So if people keep being careful and wear their mask and still social distance and try to keep the bubble fusions down to a minimum, we'll not have such a surge in cases as in some areas in the country. One other question that did come up that I failed to mention is we've been asked, what about reinfections? What is a reinfection is when somebody's had COVID before and they get it again. And how common is that and why does that happen? So the how common is it question is it's still pretty rare. In fact, I don't have any exact numbers for here in the area, but it's I know personally of a handful of cases since the beginning of the COVID outbreak. And we see this with other viral respiratory infections. It's not just with COVID that people sometimes get them again. And for some reason, the immune response just didn't kick in from the natural infection. It turns out that vaccine immunity is stronger than natural immunity, and I do have numbers both in other areas of the country and then some suggestions of what we are here in Winston-Salem, that if you've been vaccinated, the rate of getting infected after vaccination is roughly between 0.03 and 0.05%. So that's pretty low. I'm not talking about 3% or 5%, 0.03, so a hundredth of 1%. So infection after vaccination still seems to be a very rare event. So that's all really good news. Will the variants change that? For natural infection, if we have a high penetration of South African and Brazil variants here in the United States, then reinfection after natural infection will go up. I don't think it'll raise much with post-vaccination people. And though both the South African and the Brazil variants to date are pretty unusual in the U.S. When we see variants right now in the U.S., it's either the U.K. variant or the one that arose out of California, which is pretty common in California, Arizona, and Nevada right now. And then there's a variant out of New York. But those don't seem to have quite the propensity to cause reinfection as the ones from South Africa or Brazil. So I asked the question and I answered it. Any other questions?
Yeah, I've got one more question. Forsyth County seems to be reducing the number of testing sites. Do you think this is a good idea?
Forsyth County seems to be reducing the number of testing sites. Is it a good idea? I think the testing sites are realigning, and with that, the numbers are reducing. But I think the overall number of tests that are being offered are roughly about the same still. This allows some of the resources that have been used for testing to be used for vaccination. You have to kind of weigh a little bit the importance between testing and vaccination. Testing is still important, but vaccine's also very important. So we need to make sure that we have the resources available for vaccination as well.